Well, welcome back. This is Chrissy McMahon, and you're live with me tonight on awakeradio.co.uk. We're also on shaziz.com, and we are on weroar.ws. And I want to thank April Rain for the opportunity to broadcast live for the next 2 hours, and also Shaziz and Beverly and everybody at Shaziz Radio, and give my highest regard to my wonderful friends at Awake Radio for providing this wonderful platform to share the truth that nobody wants to hear but us. And tonight I have a very special guest. I have Vinnie Eastwood, straight from New Zealand. Vinnie, he's the sponsor, the creator, the wonderful entity of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, a.k.a. Mr. News, was born in the ominous year of 1984, the same year set out in Orwell's masterpiece and the year of New Zealand's neoliberal economic reforms. After working in the telecommunications industry, he quit when he noticed that when he lied to a customer, the company's profits margins went up. Unable to work or have an employer in the conventional sense, Vincent went out with frustration at the mainstream media and began to make his own news by interviewing activists about real issues that truly affect New Zealand and the world. The idea is to get the activists who live and breathe the issues and are not bound by corporate or political parties to be the pundits, reporters, and watchdogs on the multifaceted agendas of the global elite right here at home. He hopes to one day be part of an alternative media revolution that will replace the mainstream media with something that's relevant. Well, I think we're on the verge of that, Vinny. What do you say? Welcome, Vinny.
Good day, Chrissy. Sorry, I'm just eating a pear right now because just did my show and it's lunchtime now and so on and so forth. So if I sound like my mouth's full of something, it is. I'm not full of BS, though.
Awesome. Well, welcome. I finished chewing, and I'll keep reading this wonderful
bio.
Bio. Well, there's more, and not only is it a bio, you have, what is it? You have principles for your website, for your life.
Hey, did you know why the government had to close down all their public schools?
No, why?
Because they didn't have any principles.
Oh yeah, and I forgot. A quick wit. We have one of the quickest wits in New Zealand ever to be on internet radio right here, live.
Yeah. Well, it's the other thing as well. I put up a new Facebook photo, and behind me in the photo, like, I've got the little GoPro camera out here in front of me on a little mechanical arm kind of thing one of my listeners sent to me. And indeed, the listener bought the GoPro for me as well. And behind me, there's a person holding up a sign that says, "I am a once proud Kiwi, now ashamed." And somebody asked me, you know, "Vinny, why did you include that sign back there? Why don't you just have your own picture and that kind of thing?" And I say, because it's very true. There's 5 million Kiwis worldwide, 4 million in New Zealand, and I'm the only one with a 5-day-a-week radio show telling the truth. I'm the only one with a top-ranked YouTube channel that has more subscribers than every single mainstream media outlet in New Zealand. I'm the only one. And that doesn't make me proud to be the only one. It makes me ashamed of my countrymen.
Okay. You're going to kill me.
Am I?
Yeah, you are. I had my vax set wrong on Skype. So try now. They're telling me they can't hear you, which is devastating.
Really?
Because you're the reason why we're here today.
So, they can't,
yeah,
they can't
I'm
hear
not
me.
Getting any feedback.
Can you hear me?
But I'm listening on Skype. I'm not listening over the air. So
isn't this broadcast happening through Skype?
Yeah, it's actually being recorded on the encoder, I hope.
Okay.
Woo-hoo! We can hear you now. Okay, I fixed it. Yeah, I had it on my other speakers, gosh. Yeah, they hire novices to do this. Did you know that? They don't really hire professionals to do this internet radio stuff. So,
hold on. You're hired?
Issues.
They're hired?
Well, I volunteered. Yeah. And they accept it. I even did a test. I did a test spot. And it was so good, they let me stay.
Yeah. And just remember, obviously, you've got to keep that microphone down underneath your chin there, otherwise you get that kind of sound coming through. And as part of what I like to do, actually, is actually teach activists how to be their own media personalities and how to get out there. Because what I found very interesting about all these activists, like, you see them on the news all the time, and they have what I call audio nibbles, where there's like a very, very tiny little skerrick of information that they put out for people amidst all the BS. And when I started seven odd years ago, I think going out with a camera and interviewing these people, it started to blow my mind just what incredible speakers they were and how much information they were capable of laying out, to the point where I was starting to have like 2, 3, 4, 5 hour conversations with these kind of people and never running out of things to say. And I was like, whoa, this is the amount of information that's being cut out of the media. And the reporters here are just total douchebags. I mean, it's like I interviewed, Ian Wishart, who wrote the book Aircon, and he runs Investigate Magazine .com here in New Zealand. He was one of New Zealand's most credible journalists. He was the host of the Sunday program, which is our equivalent to 60 Minutes. And he told me on air that reporters are airheads. They're idiots. And so naturally, the news that you get is tailored for idiots. So it's music. You know how they say, we the people, you know, a government of, by, and for the people? Well, the media is media of, by, and for idiots.
Yeah, pretty much.
They occasionally interview intelligent people, which is why those intelligent people never get a look in for more than a 5 second statement in order to encapsulate something. And it just made me so angry, you know, because these activists and so on and so forth. Activist is actually a dirty word. Did you know that? Like, oh, you're one of these activists. You're one of these professional protesters. You're trying to save the country from ruthless criminal scum that are taking away everybody's rights and indebting us further into complete and total global slavery and soft-kill bioweapons and everything like that. You should go get a job. You should go get a job and be a slave like me.
Yeah, we have a guy, Steve Hope, and he said this is the only place where, like, you're slaves and you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And we all sit there, we want to laugh, but it's not funny. It's not even funny.
Well, you know, let's
paying for our own slavery.
Yeah, yeah, and that is the case. But the thing is, if it ain't funny, then you've got to invent something that is funny in the meantime. Otherwise, it'll drive you nuts. And that's the tagline of my show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. And I came to that conclusion when I was curling into fetal positions and crying and yelling at all my relatives and so on and so forth. 9/11 was an inside job! Oh, my God! We're all being killed by self-killed bioweapon from the Rockefeller cartel. And then I just realized, oh my God, I'm losing my sanity because I've just got no sense of humor about this. How do people who work as, say, surgeons or triage units and so on and so forth deal with the horrible crap that they see day in and day out? You ever seen the TV show Scrubs?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
My kids love it.
Yeah,
watch
yeah.
that all the time.
Yeah, it's funny, right? Even though they're dealing with a lot of serious, you know, things. And there was a great line in there by Dr. Cox when he's saying to him, look at that family in there. Now, the doctor is telling them that their father is dying, okay, and he has to go back to work after that. Do you think any of the members of that family are going back to work after hearing that? No.
Yeah.
And that's why we make jokes. Not because it's fun, but because it's the only way to deal with this this job, and sometimes because it's fun.
Yeah, and we found that that's probably the best way to reach people. I had a show last Sunday, and I had a woman, Carolyn Rose Goida, on Facebook. I don't know if you know her, but she's really funny, and she's really knowledgeable. And we just had a wonderful, like, three-hour conversation. There was four of us, and it was just amazing, the levity and the seriousness of all these issues and how connected they are. It's just... it's just unbelievable. And I know when I first started this, I was beating people over the head with it. And I was calling them sheeple and all that other stuff. And I totally turned around a 180 and just try to share when people are open to it. You know, once in a while I screw up, and like I got a bad tip the other day because I told some Republicans that there was alternative energy sources. I mean, like 100 years ago, Tesla made wireless. And they asked me if I was a Democrat because they're like really into the Marcellus Shale project. They think people are making a lot of money. They're all excited because they think it's wonderful for jobs and the economy, and they can't even see the devastation because they know it's never been proven that anybody's been harmed by the fracking process. So it's just, you know, when I got the tip, I knew right away. It was like, at least I got to say. And I know her husband was kind of open to what I was saying, but she wasn't. And I kind of thought the next day, well, maybe she's one of those reptilians they talk about. And I just couldn't see the shape shifting.
Yeah,
but, that's what I thought.
I look at it like this: the reptilian phenomenon, or the theory of it, because as far as I know, nobody's captured one yet and dissected them to see what's really underneath their skin or whatever. So it's not been proven yet. But there have been many, many things that were theorized before they were able to be proven. Bacteria, for example. Why are half the people that we're doing really roughshod surgery on with rusty knives and unwashed hands all dying? Mm-hmm. Well, I theorize that there's these incredibly small creatures called bacteria that get into the wounds and cause disease. And then all the doctors go, "Ah, oh, you're freaking crazy. Throw them in the nut house." And sure enough, he got thrown in the nut house. And then when they started using soap and washing their freaking hands before they put their hands inside people's freaking cavity, then they found out that the people stopped getting disease. And they go, "Well, he must have been right." And then about, I don't know, 20 or 30 years later or whatever, however long a period of time it took, they invented this thing called a microscope, and then they were able to see that these bacteria and microorganisms really did exist. So just because something's theorized and hasn't been proven doesn't mean it doesn't exist, and it doesn't mean that the person is Looney Tunes. However, is it relevant? A friend of mine, Mike, he started to hear about the reptilian agenda, you know, and we were sitting in the car, and he was kind of freaking out. It's like, "Oh my God, Vinny, there's reptilians. They're scary. They're trying to enslave and kill us." And I go, "Okay, have you ever seen one?" "No." So you're sitting there and you're actually actively afraid by something you have never seen, have never been affected by, and may never be. Worry about the things that are right in front of you first. Once you don't have to stop worrying about that, then you can start looking further. You know, sure, be a little bit aware that there's this theory floating around out there. But what I find very interesting is the nexus point between what a reptilian shapeshifter, allegedly, actually is, and what a psychopath is. And you find out that they're virtually the exact same thing. We have alleged documented evidence of pictures of these microorganisms that attach themselves to the brain stems of people and actually start controlling them, much like a car. And it becomes apparent that we're not dealing with some kind of mental disorder here. We're actually dealing with a mind parasite, something that is actually capable of infecting you, replicating itself, that needs human energy. It needs fear It needs an entourage. It needs power. It needs control. It needs deception in order to survive. You put a psychopath on a desert island with nobody else around, doesn't matter how much coconuts and pineapples the person can eat there, you'll die within a matter of days, because they actually do need to feed off of our negative energy. That, I think, is a very profound realization, because then you think about it. American Medical Journal states that a psychopath is a person who is very enchanting. Very enchanting when you first meet them, but after a while you realize that they have no long-term relationships and they don't care about anything other than themselves. And I think back for when I used to work for people, and now I work for myself and I work for humanity. It's like, man, that's like every single employer that I've ever had. And the American Medical Journal went on to further say that there are three likely industries that you can find these people: business, media, and politics. On top of that, religious gurus, doctors, and lawyers. What would you say are the main apparatus of society that keeps people under control and gives people power? It would be all those industries, wouldn't it? Comprised together. And then when you think about it, you look at society, you look at where society's going. Is there a lot of deception going on? Yeah. Is there a lot of cruelty going on? Yeah. Is there a lack of self-analysis going on here? Yeah. Is there a lot of crime being committed? Yeah. Is there a lack of justice everywhere? Yeah. Is the power and control centers growing and weaseling its way into people's lives so that it can become inescapable? Yeah. That's because society is run by psychopaths. Okay?
Right.
They love power and control, so they wind up getting their way to the top somehow or another. Most psychopaths will never actually commit a crime in their entire life. But just because you're not committing a crime doesn't mean you're doing something moral. Doesn't mean you're doing something ethical. For example, fluoridation. Fluoride is a toxic waste product. Okay, you can look it up. Monofluorohexasilicate. Sounds like a big long word. Basically, it's a one of the worst poisons that you could ever conceive of in your entire life. Used as a rat poison. It eats through metal. Oh, no, sorry. It eats through concrete. It eats through glass. Okay. It's used as a chemical weapon. In fact, the chemical weapon attack in Syria...
Thank you.
...was potassium fluoride and sodium fluoride. So, legally speaking, when you sell a toxic waste product to a municipality, legally, it becomes reclassified, instead of toxic waste, to being classified as a product. It's illegal to dump toxic waste, but it's not illegal to dump a product into the water supply. So they've broken no laws, yet they're being deceptive, manipulative, and downright evil. Okay?
And with the Clean Air Act, they can make their own rules. They, there's no oversight. There's no anything in our legal system to stop them from even doing that.
There's no recourse.
It's just an abomination, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what the United States has now turned into, an Obama nation.
Very well said.
Now, is anybody else concerned? Because what happens is you then... guilt by association. Because I talk about fluoride, and this actually happened to me. A bunch of socialists invited me around to their place. They're having a campfire in the backyard, you know, singing a few songs and having a few beers. And I started telling this person there's actually two types of fluoride. there's sodium fluoride, which is a toxic waste product, and calcium fluoride, which is caused by water rushing over limestone and collecting up certain calcium deposits into the fluoride, okay, which is actually not that bad for your teeth. And because I mentioned that there were these two different types of fluoride, lady across the fire said to me, "Oh, you're going to be talking about reptilian shapeshifters next." Is there a connection between reptilian shapeshifters and fluoride that's just so obvious? Because obviously anybody who talks about a particular chemical compound is differences between different chemical compounds is obviously somebody who is completely and utterly crazy and believes in things that aren't true at all whatsoever with zero evidence.
You can't
see. I mean, it's the insanity of it. If you look at society and you think that it doesn't make sense to you, that's because you're not a psychopath. If you were a ruthless, horrific, cruel, empathy-lacking parasite on humanity, everything would make sense to you. The medical system being the second leading cause of death makes sense to you. The military invading countries that with zero justification and never having any charges brought against the leaders who put said incursions into actions makes total sense to you. If you're a good, decent person, on the other hand, it starts to drive you a little bit crazy. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, this psychopathic parasite of which I speak turns out that it's actually infectious. If you're hanging out with psychopaths, you become what's known as a proto-psychopath. And they actually use their power of deception and manipulation to turn you into one of them. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that freaking scary?
And yeah.
It's like radiation or toxic garbage or whatever. There really isn't anything that you can do to clear it up, but you can stay the frack away from it. Okay, there've been people who've been foolish in history who say this person's a psychopath. I'm going to expose them. I'm going to go after them. Now, if you do that, you've got rules that you follow. Okay, so for example, you wouldn't kill or torture or rape children, for example. You're going after a psychopath. Psychopath will be very, very upset with you, and he will, conceivably, if he can get away with it, kill, rape, and torture your children in order to get back at you. Okay, that
right.
is the reason why you can't deal with these people. Don't do business with them. Don't talk to them. Don't message them back on Facebook. Don't do anything. And here's another thing. They can never apologize. All right? You know somebody
right.
who can never admit that, who can never apologize? And when they do apologize, they say, "Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry you feel that way." Very false apologetic stance that they've got there. These are the kind of people who are the toxins, the parasites on society, and you need to get them the frack out of your life because there is no benefit in it, okay? The other element here is that if evil exists, surely so does good. And I don't know about you, Chrissy, but I've been sort of thinking about like Knights of the Round Table, you know, honor, bravery, truth, these very pure motives that I have are the antithesis to this kind of psychopathic system. In so doing, that means that every moment that I embody these particular elements of which that I speak, I am actually thwarting and taking over the system in my own little way. And I think we all need to recognize the power of choice, of how we can truly make a difference if we start believing that we can. All right. So, like, Vietnam veterans, for example, in the POW camps, they had a much higher survival rate in a POW camps when they were locked away, being tortured daily, malnourished, in a prison camp, nobody to keep them company, nobody to give them comfort, no hope of rescue. The ones that survived that conditions were, moreover, those who had a strong belief in God. Isn't that interesting? Even if you don't think that God exists, just believing that he does means that when you're completely alone and you've got absolutely no hope, you're not alone and you have hope. And just having that belief that something better can happen for you, just having that belief that there is something above you, something that is not part of you, that is detached from you, that is still there with you at all times, just that belief in and of itself, regardless of the religious context, increases your ability of survival in tough situations. And to my mind, this actually kind of connotes that the human being is an incredibly powerful creature. We have abilities far beyond what we even think that we're possibly capable of. How much percentage of our brains do we use? I mean, in America nowadays, it's like, what, 1% in the general population are capable of using their brains, maybe? I don't know. In New Zealand, it's probably not that dissimilar, because we all have really dumbed down, brainwashed populations. Yet, we're still capable, despite all the odds, of waking up to the truth, of having power, despite the huge quantity of scumbaggery that tries to misinform us, misdirect us, and misrepresent us. That gives me hope, just looking at the examples of history, just looking at this. A lot of people say that one person can't make a difference. Really? Who's Gandhi? Well, he's a guy who freed India against the British Empire. Okay. Who's George Washington? Oh, he's a guy who led an army to free the United States from the tyranny of the British Empire. Okay. Who's Hugo Chavez? Oh, he's a guy who threw the American Empire out of Venezuela and gave oil profits back to the people and so on and so forth. Okay. Who's, do you see what I'm getting at here? Traditionally, one person has been the only thing that makes a difference. And I think the New World Order knows that, and they want to make people believe the opposite, that you have to get help in order to get anything accomplished in your life. That mentality, to me, is completely insane. The worst thing that you can do if you want to accomplish something great when you're first starting off is ask other people for help.
Okay. Well, with that said, I want to paraphrase this because I think it's real important. I think one of the other tools is the duality. I think there's a lot of trying to keep the us and them, black and white, separate us. And a lot of people don't understand that construct because they see something that they believe in their own mind to be wrong, and they want to make it right. They can't agree to disagree, or you know, things like that. So with that said, and I have no idea what this question means. If you'll look in your Skype chat, someone sent a question from We Roar, and it's from April Rain, I believe, and the question goes, speaking of parasites, what's the truth regarding what really happened between you, Vinny, and Pete Santilli? Is that his name? I don't even know who he is, so I don't know what the situation is. But I this is one of the constructs. You know, we have all these things going on that are so wrong in the world, but we're going to microscope on one little aspect of something that really doesn't have anything to do with the greater purpose of the solution. So, and that divides us, and that keeps us separate. So, you know, maybe you can clarify that better. So, go ahead.
honestly, I don't want to because, as I said before, if you're involved with a psychopath, the worst thing that you can do is continue to have any form of interaction with them. And if I were to say on live radio what I truly think about Pete Santilli or what he did to me, one of his listeners will quite likely send him that information and the attacks will begin anew.
And that's not why we're here. We're not here to do that. That's not the purpose of this conversation, was to do what you've started from the very beginning, is point out the obvious and try to enlighten people to the bigger reality of what's really going on here. And I think you're doing an excellent job. There's a lot of people on the Awake chat line that are, you know, giving you the thumbs up and saying, right on, Vinny. Mm. So, and I apologize because I'm very ignorant to that stuff.
No, that's cool.
It's like gossip to me, and I don't get into that.
I can explain generally because we had a number of discussions, a couple of roundtable discussions on psychopaths on my radio program. So if you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood, and you search, if you search psychopath roundtable, the elements that we discuss in there, all the methodologies of psychopaths, all of the things that they do to people that they target and so on and so forth, is exactly the answers to the question that listener is looking for. And the panelists didn't know this at the time about me and my experience with this. But what was interesting is that they didn't need to know the backstory. They laid out in detail how psychopaths act, how they treat people, and it was almost word for word, 100% mirror image of what happened to me. Okay, so yeah, Psychopath Roundtable, Vinny Eastwood. If you search that on YouTube, it should come up with it, and that'll clarify a lot of things for you. And also there is a Pete Santilli Exposed video that myself and Suzanne Posel did, which was uploaded by Laurie of Laurie's News Talk Radio, I think. So you can search that on YouTube as well. And we did like an hour-long explanation of the incident. So, you know, the information's out there, but, you know, the thing is, I don't want to tie you into it as well, Chrissy. I feel really uncomfortable talking about it. As far as I'm concerned, it's out of my life, and I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. I started Guerrilla Media in 2007, and it's mine. It's my idea. It's my concept. It's my construct. I've put a lot of work into it. And guess who else has something called Guerrilla Media after they talk to me and ask me for all my ideas on it and so on and so forth and set it up. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, and I have people that I would term not sociopaths or psychopaths, but narcissists. And it, when you were talking about it being communicative, I'm thinking maybe genetic, but my mother is definitely narcissistic, and for the longest time I had no idea. I always, like, because I was a little kid and I always thought I was doing something wrong, and my mother's a person who can never say she's sorry, and I wouldn't go so far as to call her a psychopath, because my mother's done a lot of amazing, wonderful, good things in her life. But there is this part of her that's very narcissistic, and I just recently became aware of it. So there's different levels of this behavior, and, you know, you can look it up on the internet. That's how I found out. So, you know, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well, it actually has to do with a lot. All psychopaths are narcissists, but not all narcissists are psychopaths. I'm a narcissist, actually. It may surprise you. Okay, what's a narcissist? Okay, have you heard of Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
Float like a butterfly, stink like a bee. I'm Muhammad Ali, and I'm going to beat the crap out of ye. All right, you know what I'm saying here? a guy who believes in himself, loves himself, and believes that he is the greatest that has ever been, not because he was deluded, but because he was correct. That's what you call a benign narcissist. I believe that I'm a great speaker, a great radio show host. I believe that I'm a good man. I believe that I'm capable of great things. I believe that I can contribute to the world and making it a better place, a place that is more accepting of people's differences and their different capabilities, and bringing those capabilities out in people to tutor, to help people learn, to accept who they are and what they are really capable of, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm relatively egotistical. You can't be a radio show host without at least having just a little bit of an ego. But I'm not a bad person. I do overwhelmingly good things. Even though I think very highly of myself, I'm also very down on myself a lot of times. And indeed, my listeners can hear it in my voice sometimes. And often will call me up on Skype after the show or something and go, Vinny, you sounded really depressed on the air. Are you okay or whatever? And I'll talk about myself for a while or whatever. And they talk about themselves and we have a conversation. They talk about themselves. I talk about myself and we listen to each other. Okay. That's an equal, open, loving, caring conversation. And it makes me feel better enough to forget about the fact that I was depressed about whatever scumbag did whatever to me. You know what I'm saying? So There's nothing necessarily bad about being a narcissist. Just as long as you don't let it go to your head and you have other good, decent people out there who are not yes men, who will tell you when you're being a bit of a dick.
Okay, here we have another question. Do you know of another country where people are more free than in the United States? And if so, which one? Or one? There's no country people
Communist
are
China.
Go ahead.
Communist China.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's how you tell.
I know.
Here's how you tell. In communist China, 10% of the people are unemployed and 10% of people are below the poverty line. In the United States, 6% of people are unemployed and 18% of people are below the poverty line. Okay? And in China, they have about, they have a few million people or something in prison, work camps and so on and so forth. In the United States, you have more prisoners, not per capita, but actual in numbers. You have more people in prison with like less than half the population of China than China does. You execute more people than every single other country that executes people combined.
Fine.
You are surveilled more than every other single country in the entire world. So if you want to ask me what country is freer than the United States, I would ask you, what country isn't?
Well, yeah, that was my thought when I read the question. I'm like, some people are under the illusion that we do have freedom, but that's okay. You know, you're entitled to your own opinion, but, you know, sometimes you have to do a little bit deeper digging to find out, you know, just how true your belief system is and where do you get that construct? Where does it come from? You know, where's the information that you're basing this on? So, yeah, that was a great question.
Yeah, it was, and it highlights a very important thing, isn't it? There's no such thing as a free nation in a new world order, is there? The bankers control every nation, pretty much, at the end of the day. There's no escape from it. I liken it to a Zeppelin, and like the Hindenburg, for example. When they anchor Zeppelins, they have to throw ropes on them on various corners all around it, so that it doesn't matter how many of the ropes and everything get cut, the Zeppelin ain't going to fly away because there's always other ropes and everything all around it. And what happens is, if you want to free your nation, you are held down by the ropes of every other single nation that's under the control of the bankers, under every single other corporation that's under control of the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, you know, whatever you want to call it. So in order for any nation to be free, truly free, every single nation would have to be freed simultaneously. The bankers would have to be disabled, in other words, simultaneously, because you can't leave them alone and think that you're going to be free, because they will come for you again. They are ruthless. They want this New World Order system. They want total control of all human life. They want control of you from birth. They want to pump you full of vaccines. They want to give you a birth certificate which has a shipping number so that they can trade you on as a commodity, like livestock. You know, you ever think about that?
And yeah, we have that.
On top of that, every time that you open your mouth and speak out against the system, they want all of the other brainwashed morons around you that have been totally mind-controlled since they were born to tell you that you're crazy, to ostracize you, suddenly you'll find yourself...
Control the sheep.
You'll find out that you've suddenly got no friends, because all of your friends that you thought were your allies, that you thought were actually loyal to you because you've been a good friend to them and so on and so forth, have no loyalty to you whatsoever. They have loyalty to one thing and one thing only, the state. And the state has no loyalty to its citizens whatsoever, yet it demands loyalty from every single one of its citizens. You know, that's the very definition of hypocrisy. Do as I do, do as I say, but not as I do. And people forget that. People forget that in the 20th century, more people were killed by their own government than any other factor. More people under communist regimes died in the 20th century by their own government's hand than all the wars of the 20th century combined. The government is not there to help you. It's not there to serve you. It is there to kill, enslave, and use you as a serf on the plantation. Just because you're capable of walking around the different fields in the plantation without being stopped by your slave master with a whip doesn't mean you're free, because you're still a slave. You're still owned. I had a feminist try and argue this point with me. And I said to her, look, I know you think you're free, that your kids are going to, some of them are going to university or whatever, and that you're still together with your husband, that you've got a home and so on and so forth. Well, let me ask you this. Do you pay taxes that you never got a choice in whether or not you pay them? Are your children being forcibly indoctrinated for 6+ hours a day at a state school? If the answer to either or even a single one of those questions is yes, then you're a slave. And it doesn't matter what rationalization that you put up. That is what you are. And you must accept the fact that you are a slave, because the one who is most enslaved is the one who falsely believes that they are free. I believe wholeheartedly that I'm a slave. And so that means I am now on the path to becoming free, much like an alcoholic must admit that they are an alcoholic before they go on the path to sobriety.
Okay, we have a couple more questions. We'll take them one at a time. The first one is, if any could do one thing that would, I guess, rid the world of the USA World Police, what would it be? I think telling people what's going on is helpful.
Death and murder is never helpful, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, because it always leads to just more death and murder. You know, you got the old examples. One thing to remove the U.S. war machine. Well, basically, you cut funding to the Department of Defense down to zero. Done. Next question.
Here, let me. Besides educating, talking to people, what viable actions does Vinny take to stop the NWO?
Well, let's see. I eat organic food. I buy non-fluoridated water. I use coconut oil and baking soda deodorants. What else do I do? I try to exercise. I try to minimize my amount of exposure to television. I care about other people enough to do things for them where I will get no reward. I attend protests and bring the technology so that the people's voices may be heard. I mean, everything that I've got has been donated, and one of which is a 100-watt megaphone. The police use 25-watt megaphones, and I've got a 100-watt megaphone with a wireless microphone. Okay? You can hear my voice booming down Queen Street in Auckland here, you know. And, what else do I do? I've stopped using processed sugar. I'm starting to use coconut sugar. The New World Order is all-encompassing, so that the second you wake up, even while you're asleep, you are completely surrounded by scumbaggery of the New World Order. And it's a long process. So here's point A, where every single thing that you do in your entire life serves the New World Order agenda. And here is part Z, or Z for the New Zealanders listening, where you are living your life completely out of their control. You are not in any way supporting your system. Because, there's a reason why I did A to Z instead of A to B, because it's not just a one-step, two-step program, okay? It takes decades, one by one, of getting the New World Order the frack out of your life, okay? I'm still paying taxes, because you can't not pay taxes in New Zealand. You go to any store, they automatically tax every single thing that you purchase. And it's the same in most other countries. There's no escape for it. I pay my vehicle registrations, because if I don't pay my vehicle registrations, then I'll have these fascist cop scum pulling me over all the time. I really hate cops. Not good cops, of course. There's like two or three of them, I'm sure, in the police force. If that. And I don't like having any interactions to them. So I don't like having to do these things, but I make a rationalization by saying, you know what? I can do a hell of a lot more by being able to go around without being stopped. I can do a lot more without having my home raided by IRD, the New Zealand equivalent of the IRS, by paying my taxes, than I could if I had to deal with all that stuff myself. And the reason why I rationalize it like that is because for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, I'm running the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and I'm bringing on a new guest almost every single day, talking about a new topic almost every single day, that previously people may not have heard about. And we're living in a time now where we're so ill-informed about everything that unless you start listening and learning about everything, every aspect of your life, every function of every organ in your body, every aspect of the apparatus of the New World Order, unless you are willing to take a fully eclectic, holistic, long-term view of the entirety of the system without leaving anything out, there will be no possibility that we will, as I said before, release the zeppelin of freedom amidst the ropes of tyranny.
Okay, that's one beautiful. I totally agree. And here's another question. If they shut down the internet tomorrow, what tools would Vinny use to communicate with others? And that's an easy one.
I would burn DVDs. I would go on live terrestrial radio. I would be attending more protests. I would go into print media. I would probably be doing a lot more work with my friend Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine here. I would be doing all sorts of things. The internet is only one tool. It's now the most effective tool. But the thing is, what happened last week, is my Facebook account that I've been working on for 6-7 years. Okay. got shut down by Facebook, and I cannot get back into it. Trust me, everybody's now suddenly got suggestions of, oh, but you can do this, you can do that, you can lay complaints and so on and so forth. Trust me, I've tried every conceivable possible way to get that account unrevoked, but they've all failed.
There's no response.
No response. No response, no ability to even make a complaint, because in order to make a complaint, you've got to log in with the account, and I can't log in with the account until I change my name, which they won't let me do, you know? So I've been completely fracked. And when I get upset, it's very scary for people. You know, I'm 6'4", I have a very loud voice, I have a propensity for profanity. It's like this rage monster comes out, and it's actually terrifying for people around me to see me kind of like lose control. And I did pretty much almost lose control when every single post that I've ever made, every friend that I've ever accepted, every group that I ever created, every page that I'm an admin on with tens of thousands of likes and so on and so forth that I share my show on every single day is gone. Forever. And then,
yeah,
I realized, how much time do I spend on Facebook every day? And now that I've got all that free time, how much work can I catch up on? I've got all these videos that I haven't edited yet. I've got all these other things, like technical problems with my website, which instead of, you know, doing all of those, I've been on Facebook promoting my show and so on and so forth. And it's just like, wow. This thing that I've been pouring so much energy and so much effort into, which I've actually been getting rewards for, is no longer there. So that actually frees me to do all these other things that I previously didn't think that I had time to do. So it turned a negative into a positive. And the internet being cancelled would be the exact same thing for me. Initially, there would be the unbridled rage that I would feel about the loss of my liberty and my ability to broadcast from home and so on and so forth. Then the next thing that would occur to me is how many other things that I can now do because I'm not distracted by doing the internet. I can write novels. I can make documentary films. I can do all of these other things. So it matters not which way the New World Order messes with me. I'll rage out at it for a moment, and then I'll rationalize it, accept it, and find a way to keep fracking them.
Well said. And if you were the leader of a country, what would you require of your people? I'll let you answer that, and then we're going to take a break.
If I was a leader of a country, I would pass two pieces of legislation. The first piece of legislation is the Suppression of Scumbaggery Act, which means that if you commit any form of scumbaggery, be that financial scumbaggery, violent scumbaggery, deception scumbaggery, you can be locked in prison. And the second piece of legislation that I would enact would be the Prohibition of Any Further Legislation Act, so that nobody could ever pass another annoying law that has no justification on a piece of paper ever again. Ever again. So, scumbaggery would be suppressed, including the scumbaggery of government legislation. Bingo.
Okay. Do you want to just explain scumbaggery so we're all clear?
Everybody knows what a scumbag is, you know? And scumbaggery, as some people might call it, is the actions, motivations, and portents of a scumbag. You know? You ever seen somebody, and they're kind of like really not nice people? They're violent, aggressive, obnoxious, or dishonest, or, you know? They're a scumbag.
Yep.
That's what scumbaggery is.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we're clear. So, how about we take a 5-minute break, and
cool,
we'll come right back with Vinny Eastwood, and maybe we'll have more questions. And thank you for the questions.
You're
listening
good questions
to Awake Radio. Yeah, excellent. .co.uk and We Roar, WS, and Shaziz.com.
And that's how it really is. We just